The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Well, as it is, what about 6:15 on a Friday afternoon? We are going to have our winners and sinners. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined today by Today FM's Alison Curtis and by journalist Brian Lloyd. First of all, happy bank holiday.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Terrific.
Yeah.
And the weather? It's great.
We don't have to talk about the fact that it's changing tomorrow. Doesn't matter.
No, it isn't.
Is it?
No, the weather is still, positive. We have to put positive energy out there. It's going to
really?
Be fine. Yeah, it's going to hold.
You think if you talk the skies, they're going to change?
It's gonna be like if we will it, it will happen. We have to speak it into existence. I'm manifesting, okay?
Oh, really?
I'm manifesting that this weather
like
is gonna continue.
Michael Fish, I check those weather updates every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Could it change?
But it's been so
I
nice.
Am willing it to change. Come on, and it's not going
it'll
to change.
Be fine.
Let's talk about other things.
Okay.
Other winners this week. And I'm delighted, actually, Alison, with your first choice.
Yes.
The FTD brothers. And you have to remind yourself that's not actually their name. They are Jordan and Kane Adams, who have raised over £1.5 million. It's
incredible.
Actually more than that now, isn't it?
I think it's gone up. Yeah.
Dementia research. Tell me about them.
Just, like, obviously anything hereditary is scary. It is. And they also having the knowledge of knowing that this is inevitable for them, this frontal temporal dementia, which is what their mother Geraldine had and passed away at the age of 52, which is very, very young. So they decided to raise awareness and just create like a real positive vibe around themselves. So I think Jordan's 31, Kian's 25. They do know that by the time they get to their mid to late 40s that this decline is going to start happening in their lives, which is horrific for their whole family. I think they've lost about 12 members to this in their family, to know that this is happening. Like, I know I've got a few friends who like got tested for certain things, that, and just knowing like it's brave to get tested to know one way or the other that's definitely going to happen. But they decided to turn this tragedy into something positive and do the 33 marathons in 33 days, which is incredible, and raise all these funds. And they're not, like, they're going to go to Amble tonight, apparently, and then they're going to come up with something else. They're going to do other things too to raise funds and raise awareness. And they're really lovely, well-spoken young guys, young, very young guys, and their family. They got a lot of response from families in Longford, which is where they, you know, the mother's family was from. And they talked very emotionally when they crossed the finish line about all of that. And they're just really impressive young men.
They're beyond impressive, actually. I saw a video clip of, I think it was Jordan, talking on his 32nd marathon, the day before they, you know, crossed the finish line here in Dublin, in Merrion Square. And it was his mum's 63rd birthday that day. And he was just really, really emotional. He said something within that video clip, which is on his social page, that they just needed people to understand that dementia is much more than memory loss.
Yeah.
It is
not an inevitable part of aging, and that actually this is what it looks like to get a diagnosis like that in your 20s and 30s, and that they have really struggled to get their friends to sort of accept, lads, this is coming down the track.
It's so scary.
For us.
Yeah.
And I just thought they've talked about something that's really difficult in a really open, courageous, honest, way.
Yeah, because I mean, look, the reality of it is like, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's, it's described as the long goodbye. And the idea is that it starts, if it does, I mean, I'm not talking about frontal temporal dementia. Like, my grandfather had dementia. And the thing of it was that it comes on in stages. When the one that I suppose most people are familiar with is that it comes in stages.
Yeah.
It starts slow until it becomes more and more progressive, until it gets to a point where essentially you forget everything and you only remember small little parts and stuff like that. And like, you know, the reality of it is that, like, we think when we're young, we think we have all this time and stuff like that. We think that we're invincible. But then we realize that, you know, it's not the case, that we don't have a lot of time, and that it is better to speak now and act now and do the things, do it now while we have the time, while we have the energy. There's no point waiting for something, you know, to suddenly click into your life and say, oh, I'll start doing that now. And this is a great example of it. The fact that they know that this is coming down the pipe, that they don't have a lot of time, that they're acknowledging it there and then and saying, right, we're going to do as much as we can in the time that we have. And just that idea of, you know, the urgency and the usefulness of it, I think, is so,
and
you
just
know,
the
human
feat of the actual marathon.
Yeah, the feat of it as well.
Like, is insane.
Jesus,
like,
33 marathons.
Insane, yeah.
Crazy.
Very impressive.
I did, when I was looking at it, looking at the two lads and following their achievements during the week, I thought, okay, you know, I've had a tough week, but this is going to give me perspective, right?
Yeah.
Right? I thought, these stories make me stop and think and go, okay, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to complain about that.
I know.
You know, people have it so much worse off. And then I wonder, how do I sustain that, Alison?
You won't be able to sustain it, but that's okay. It's human nature. And that's the thing too, like when we do hear of things like this or see people making these accomplishments, it does put things into perspective. But it's also normal to be really annoyed that your avocado is overripe when you cut into it. That's just normal, Kira.
All problems are relative, you know, that kind of way. Like, it's all about perspective.
Okay.
Like,
although there is a scale, can we just say,
sure,
my avocados,
a scale, yeah.
Just so you know, that wasn't my difficulty this week. I would have got over that a bit.
Oh no, just so lobster is too buttery. Lobster is too buttery, yeah.
Why do you think, I suppose, Alison, the people have engaged with them in this story to the degree that we have?
The way they're presenting themselves and the way that they're communicating what they're going through, I think, is really... And, like, they're two young guys, so it means that they're reaching an audience that, you know, are on social media, that maybe have personal experiences of losing people through various forms of dementia. So I just think that they are so well-spoken. They come across so well that I think people are just attached to them and following their story.
Yeah, and it's actually the real positive side of social media, which we don't talk about very often. True. But I do think it has changed maybe the way people understand a condition like this.
Yes, definitely. The fact that you can have it's a human face, it's a very relatable, like as you say, like they're so well spoken, they're so lucid in how they kind of, you know, articulate everything, and that, you know, we kind of think of these things in very kind of austere and kind of clinical terms, like frontotemporal dementia, what is that? But then here it is, there's two lads describing it in very real terms. I think that kind of gives it more of a human connection.
We spoke earlier on The Hard Shoulder about CMAT, right? And the body shaming that she has faced, the scrutiny that she has faced over her appearance. And it just made me so angry. It really did. Yeah. And the fact that she said, Brian, that her success has been tarnished by these comments got under my skin so much. I mean, she deserves nothing but praise. But she's your winner this week because she has talked about
the fact that
the body shaming again.
Yeah, the fact that she's been vulnerable about it. I mean, look, it's not this thing like... I get really, really annoyed when I hear people say, like, oh, you know, well, if you want to be famous, you have to be able to take the rough with the smooth. And that, you know, it's a double-edged sword. And if you're putting yourself out there, then, you know, you have to expect a bit of flack. Flack is one thing. That's fine. There's a bit of, you know, like, I am a critic. I am a film critic. So the idea of, like, if you give a piece of art to the world, it has to be assessed and judged upon its own merits. That doesn't mean you get to talk about the person who's making it. And you certainly don't get to talk about how that person presents themselves to the world insofar as their body. I mean, like, I just want to quote a little bit of it here because it really is worth pointing out. I am not being defiant. I am not choosing to look this or weigh this much as some kind of punk rock act or liberty. I simply have a body, one that I would have of course liked to change in order to fit in and avoid all of this abuse, but I have had extreme difficulty in doing so. So like, that's even a thing of like, she's not even saying, oh, you know, like I'm big and beautiful and this, that and the other. She's openly admitting, if I didn't have to do this, if I didn't have to look this way, I wouldn't do it. Like that.
Which is very honest in itself.
Yes, that's what I'm saying to you. Like the fact that she's not even... Like, she's admitting, I would love to look differently if I could, but I can't.
I am worried, though, in general, and I was thinking about this when I knew it was your winner, Brian, and following everything and hearing it earlier as well, is that even in my own immediate circle, but everyone, I can see visibly people shrinking all around me all the time now. And that does worry me. Yeah, because... Look, some people, everybody's got their own individual reason and, you know, their perhaps health reasons, you know, in some cases. But I just find that worrying that it just seems to be in both genders, all genders, like everyone just seems to be shrinking.
Well,
and that worries me.
We did a News Talk Daily podcast on this a couple of weeks ago. We were speaking to a doctor about it, and there was some research done that suggests actually the introduction of all of these weight loss injections or obesity management injections, that's actually what it is. But that is, you know, one of the dark and downsides of that is that it normalizes looking a particular way, and it actually says to people who don't look like that it's again abnormal. It's almost like saying to somebody, you should be able to do something about it now.
Excuse
so
now.
Why are you not?
Yeah. It is. It's really scary. And it's like the whole idea of, like, to go really dark about what a perfect human should and shouldn't look like, and the fact that obviously, you know, there were means in certain periods of history and time for people to erase people they felt didn't fit into that mold.
Mm. Yeah, like there's a great, you probably read it already, but there was a great piece on a Substack a while back about body fascism and this idea that, like, you can literally tie, you can correlate, you know, this idea of the perfect human body and the idea of, like, you know, supremacy of, you know, athleticism and all this kind of jazz to the rise in fascism and stuff like that.
Yeah, but do you know what the biggest problem? Well, maybe it's not the biggest problem.
Go on.
But it's directed to women.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, I'm not getting any of this. I'm not getting any of this.
By
yeah,
and large,
not,
so?
Not, yeah. not, it's not that men don't receive the same criticism. I just don't think they get it to the same level.
No,
I don't.
But I think it's expanded into that. Round.
Yeah, you have looks maxa now, like clavicular. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
What I think I'm talking about specifically is, you know, male artists, male
oh,
actors.
Oh, yeah, we don't
that's
get anything
I mean.
Like that. Yeah.
It's the female artists who seem to come under more questioning, more criticism, yeah. more scrutiny.
But I think what's interesting, what Brian said as well about CMAT, is that in the past, people have wanted to own a body change or, you know, saying this is. But CMAT's actually very, I found that really raw.
Yeah.
To say, I'm not choosing this necessarily, yeah. even though she's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, like, you think of, like, you know, Bette Ditto, for example, and yeah. stuff like that. And she was really like, I'm a big, beautiful woman, and I don't care how I look. And she was the lead singer of Gossip and stuff like that. As you say, like, women artists are judged on a different scale compared to men. It just happens. Like, mm-hmm. And, you know, have we not learned enough now over the years that when we apply this, you know, pressure, when we apply this level of scrutiny to women, that it never ends anywhere good. I mean,
it never ends well for anyone.
Anybody. Yeah, yeah. Anybody. Have we not learned?
No, we haven't. And social media has actually made it worse. Okay, look, we have to take a break there. We are going to come back with our losers in a moment. You are very welcome back to Winners and Sinners. And this week I am joined by Alison Curtis and Brian Lloyd. And I think I called it Winners and Losers today. It was actually Winners and Sinners.
Well, yeah, correct you right now, Kira.
I'm not here every day, folks. It's not, it is a Friday evening. Okay, well,
and
losers.
And it's a bank holiday weekend as well. Don't forget. Like, yeah. Come on. Like.
Losers, sinners.
Yeah,
ultimately the same thing. Yeah. Okay, Alison.
Lewis etiquette, right? And I get really disproportionately outraged when I see people behaving in a way that I feel just isn't kind of nice. It's cool.
Be
I don't know.
Kind.
I just.
That's very Canadian, by
yeah,
the way.
It
that's
is.
Very Canadian.
And I'm just like, and I'm too sensitive to it and too aware of it. And it's like, I'm letting this ruin my day. And maybe the person it's being directed to doesn't even notice. But I got onto the Lewis, and there were two women, like early 20s, sitting in the seated priority area. And a man got on, and he was elderly, but his mobility didn't look 100%, but he was, you know, he was elderly. But then it's that situation where if you intervene and go give your seat up, he'll be like, excuse me. And you're like, I'm sorry. You know, that's offending him. Hmm. So I didn't say anything, but they looked up at him and carried on their conversation. It was across the aisle and he was holding on. He was okay. But it just infuriated me. And I'm at that stage in my life where I get mad. I get hot faces and ears and things like that. And I was
get
just like,
up, you pup.
I was just nope. like, move. Like, move. I don't know. And maybe people listening to this right now will be like, well, you don't know their situation and their, you know, able-bodiedness, Allison. So shut your face. But I was just like, please move. Please do the right thing. Like, I feel immense pressure if I feel like I'm in a scenario where I shouldn't be where I, you know, if there's an option for someone who deserves to be in this seat, you've got to give it
over.
Yeah,
you have to give it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to. Like, you
so
can't.
So I was just like, come on. And then today, getting onto the bus, it was very strange. Like, everyone just funneled in, and this person kind of shoved up behind me and, like, pretty much lifted me onto the bus. I was like, thanks for the lift. Because they were so intent to get on. They just shoved me on. And I was like, okay, I'm okay now, but in a few years, I'm not going to be able to handle this.
Do you think, in general, has sort of public transport etiquette completely
kinda
collapsed.
And if I could bring up a third scenario, I'm sorry, now I know this is Friday. I was in a shop on Grafton Street that it is very much targeted to a certain age group of girls. They all shop there. And I was looking at a rack, and this really got my goat. I was looking at a rack of something for my daughter. This girl came in and started moving stuff on the rack that I was looking at. And like I was a ghost. I was like, I know women become invisible at a certain age, but I was like, I am actually shocked. And then as we went to pay, she stood up against me to the point where I couldn't put my backpack on my shoulder. And so I did a nasty thing. I swung it around and hit her. And she's like,
good. Good.
No, I didn't hit her hard, guys.
Okay, yeah, because that's assault. Allison, we'd have to report that.
No, I just swung it onto my shoulder and she was like, ugh.
Yeah,
it
no,
barely
good.
Touched her. Barely touched her.
No, I
give me space.
You just basically said to saying, have a bit
just
of manners.
Space.
Just, yeah, like a personal space. Like, as I was saying, like, it's a beautiful summer's day out there. Everyone's a little bit kind of a bit on edge. The heat is there. How's about we just, you know, just give each other a little
I'm
bit of grace?
I'm not good with not having personal space.
Yeah, same.
Our younger generations less socially aware in public spaces?
Yes.
Or are, oh, you're both saying yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's not like
okay.
Look,
sorry
I know this
to
is,
younger generations who aren't in this room right
sure.
now. You can text in if you want and defend yourselves.
No, don't
really?
Make a don't make a TikTok
lack
about
of awareness.
It.
It was yeah. lack of awareness. It's like I'm looking at the same things, and I was there first. So I'll give you. I'll let you have the look in a minute.
No, but yeah, it's. I look okay. I know this is almost a cliche. Like here we are, Gen X, millennial, and we're giving out about Gen Z. But
am
like,
I Gen X?
I didn't want to ask your age.
I don't think Kira and I are the same.
I don't know what Gen X is.
Whatever. My point being is that there is not a Gen Z person in the room to fight the corner. But let's be honest about it. Like, there is this thing now. And I know this, again, this is so cliche. This is so ridiculous. But it is true. The blankness when you go into a shop and you're like, hi, can I have a latte, please, and thing. And it's like,
yeah.
Nothing. There's nothing. There's like a deadness behind the eyes. And I'm like, hi, how are
it's
you?
It's attention span as well.
It is.
Sorry, I'm a millennial, just so you know.
Oh, are you?
Yeah,
oh,
Brian,
you?
I was actually
what?
In your group.
I didn't, okay, cool, right, I didn't
I was
know.
Not in Alison's
what's
group, but
millennial?
Thanks very much.
It's like 1980 to 1990 is
oh, yeah.
class
yeah.
is millennial.
So I was in there, thanks 90, very much, 1982.
Aren't they all 14 years apart now?
Is that not it?
I don't know, mine is like 25 billion years, Gen X, am I X? Yeah.
Well, yeah, so like, okay, so like 1985...
Yeah.
I won't ask your age.
No, don't.
Okay, but you know what I mean? Like, you're just, we're saying, we're just, oh God, this is turning into something else now. Jesus.
Are you age shaming? Are you age shaming?
No, I'm not. Jesus, not at all. You look great for whatever age you are. Oh,
okay,
God.
Okay, I'm going to pull
stop
this
digging.
Back.
I'm 67, okay? I'm 67.
You don't look a day over 40, all right? You look terrific.
Okay, I'm going to go back, though, to that very basic first point that you made, which is giving up your seat for elderly
yes.
passengers. Do you think that needs
like me.
To be like Alison, if you see her? Do you think that needs to be an automatic social rule? Or is
yeah.
there a
yeah.
kind of concern amongst some people that you would insult an older person by saying that?
That's why I didn't want to get
happened?
Involved. That's why I didn't want to get involved.
Okay, all right. I was on the tube once in London and I was sitting down and I was going to Heathrow and a woman came on, she was an older woman, and I immediately got my bag and I was about to stand up and she was like, sit down. And I was like... I was like, okay. And my immediate reaction was I saw an older,
yeah.
and I mean, this is not like she was an older woman. She was
yeah.
like, what was
not
an
like,
old?
Like me.
No, I didn't mean like that. I'm just, oh God.
He keeps
oh God.
Looking at me.
Oh God. Sorry. You're in my eye line. I'm going to, I will address the window. So anyways.
No, you're right. You can, you're at risk of insulting.
This
I
is
get
it.
That.
There is an element, but like I'm saying, I've done it plenty of times. I'm not just tooting my horn here.
Yeah.
And people have been saying, oh, thank you very much. And you sit down and that's the end of it. Like, but it happened once where...
I think always offer.
Oh, yeah.
I think
that's
always
it.
Offer
if you're
offer
and they say, no, I'm getting off the next stop, that's fine. Then you can sit there and all the rest of it. But I think you have to...
Sometimes think headphones culture has really
that's an
made
element,
people
yeah.
less
really
socially engaged
the
in the public.
Or loud music, all that kind of stuff. We could go into a whole different territory.
Yeah, that's
oh,
all.
Yeah, that's just really annoying, irritating Lewis behaviour.
There's a thing now that... I've seen somebody say it and it's actually quite good. It's like if you see somebody playing on their phone and they're playing a full volume, walk up to them and go, sorry, do you not is your headphones not working? Like everyone can hear it. And it's good. It's like, do you not realise that everyone can hear
it's
what you're doing?
Nicely passive-aggressive.
Nicely passive-aggressive. Like
that's a very Canadian move.
Okay,
that's
let's move
it's
on.
The right level of, yeah, yeah.
Let's move on. The beautiful weather we've
yes.
enjoyed over the last few days.
Uh-huh. That will continue.
You feel some people have been unhappy about this and you don't like it.
I have noticed, yes. I have noticed there has been something of a trend of people saying, oh, it's too hot. I don't like this. Oh, it's too much. I can't handle it. It's too close. Shut up. It rained for 50 plus days from December until the middle of February. Look it up, people. It's on Met Aaron, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have had 4-5 days mm-hmm. of beautiful sunshine. Okay? If you have a medical condition and you find the heat too much, fair enough. You get to complain about it. That's fine. But if you are just... griping for the sake of griping,
okay,
no one wants to hear.
I wonder
say
sometimes,
nothing.
Is there this sort of it's kind of like a social pressure or something.
To enjoy, summertime sadness. Yeah.
To pretend you're suffering in the heat. Like, it really bores me when I see it.
I don't have to pretend.
Oh, what? You are this person, Alison.
No, I don't give out about it. But if you said, would you like to go on a sun holiday or a snow holiday? I go, snow. Like, put me
somewhere cold. That drives me mad.
But I've always been like that. Even when I was living in Canada before I moved here, our summers are really, really hot. I'd be the rare teenager that's under an umbrella in a full body kind of cooling off outfit where everyone else is like in bikini tanning.
Okay, is it like, okay, do you like do snowboarding and stuff and skiing? Because my wife
skiing, I love skiing.
Oh, okay, right. So there you go. So it's an activity,
based. Just, I like the kind of wide open crispness. Like, I don't want to, but I don't complain about it because I don't want Brian at me.
I did hear a whole conversation on radio this week about, you know, when we, the language, I suppose, that we use, and by we, I mean the media, about, you know, the heat wave and going to the beach and what ice cream are you wearing and when have you got your barbecue out, and it's all very happy and jolly celebratory.
Yeah.
And actually, you know what, it's reflecting climate change and that we need to reflect on that a bit. Okay,
yes.
Brian, I can already read that you don't.
I know. Hold on a second. That is a fair acknowledgement. Yes, we are living through a phase of significant climate change. It is man-made. Data centers and the water that is being used to funnel them and the energy that has been used.
Yeah.
100%. I can completely acknowledge it. And yes, this heat is most likely tied to that. I fully accept that. We should have an acknowledgement. There should be a discussion about that. But at the same time, it's really nice. Can you not see how lovely it is?
But it is like almost June. So like it's when you get hot days in March that you're like,
That's when it's like, yeah. Mm. But this is May. We're allowed to enjoy this. Like, I think there is an element
of... I'm sorry. It was enjoyable.
Yes.
It was lovely.
Yeah,
I was outdoors.
Loved it.
Loads.
Yeah.
I was in out of the park.
It's nice to walk
the dog.
We were
in our neighbour's house and we sat outside in the drinks. The kids were in an inflatable pool.
It's nice.
We are not going abroad this year. Fantastic.
Washing,
I'm with you.
The amount of washing that I
every
got done.
Every bed sheet
was out on the line. Terrific. Fantastic. Okay. Like, can we, even on a practical level, can we acknowledge that it is great when it is sunny on a practical level?
Look, everyone gets into a good mood, except for people that give out about it.
And that's it. If you give out about it, that's fine. That's no problem. Keep it to yourself.
Okay.
Keep it to yourself. Please.
And I did get to the bottom of the wash basket. Just saying, but whatever.
Yeah, it's always exciting.
I don't have to gloat, but I haven't been down there
in a long
time.
You're like walking around the house being like, what needs washing? Have we got towels? We got
tea
towels?
Take the covers off that couch. Yeah. This is a big day in our house. Okay, let's take a quick break. Lots more coming up.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Very welcome back to our final part of Winners and Sinners. So I'm going to come to you actually first, Brian, because your other thing that you want to talk about this week is...
The RHA Annual Exhibition. It is the 196th Annual Exhibition. For those who don't know, it is an open submission art exhibition that happens every year in the RHA up on Ely Place. It is free admission. You do not have to pay a penny. You can literally walk in off the street and enjoy over 600 pieces of art from Irish and international artists. You can buy some art if you fancy it. There are pieces available from 100 euro up to tens of thousands of euro. I've bought a few pieces over the years. Full disclosure, my wife works in the RHA, so I have been brought here to say this. But even if I wasn't married to her, I'd still be plugging this. It's a great little thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
If bring kids, bring adults, bring your mates, bring whatever, come and have a look around. It's so rare to have free kind of things to do in Dublin. So to celebrate this, absolutely.
And there's hundreds of pieces.
Yeah,
there,
600
and there's
pieces.
Everything. There's
Print. There is
sculpture.
There is mixed media. There is paintings. There is all kinds of stuff. And it's a great spot anyway. Like, I mean, there's the Marga, the cafe, just across the way from it. Or sorry, just in it, I should say. Got a recent write-up by Movies and Booze contributor Leslie Williams, the Irish Examiner. He gave it a great piece. So, yeah, it's something to do this weekend if you're looking for something to do.
Yeah, I would highly, highly recommend it. We go down to it every single year, myself and my husband, on an afternoon.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Spend a Sunday in it, yeah, and it's lovely.
It's so pleasant. And what I love about it is it's not all established artists.
No.
There's lots of first-time exhibitors. There's lots of American emerging artists there. You know, and it's a lovely way. It's not intimidating in any way. You don't have to be an art critic or an art snob. You know, I'm neither of those things. But if you just like nice things and you want to put some nice pictures on your wall, or you want to dream about someday being able to afford to put nice pictures on your wall, that's all it is.
That's it. It's really fantastic. Like, it's beautiful. Yeah. Like, as I say, you can just go and appreciate it.
My anything else is The Burrows. You've seen it.
Yes, I have.
Brian. It's basically, if you think of, do you know about it much, Kira?
No.
If you think of Cocoon meets Stranger Things, basically is exactly what it is.
And I know neither. Well, I've heard of Stranger Things.
I remember Cocoon.
I've never watched it.
That's because you guys are millennials, right? It's Cocoon. Duffer Brothers are behind Stranger Things. They're producing this. So it's set in a retirement community in New Mexico, but it's a sci-fi. Dips a little bit, I'd say, episode 7, 8, but comes back again. And it's just really, really watchable. And it's a lot of fun.
Great cast.
Is it only 9, 10 episodes?
Yeah.
Alfred
Molina, Gina Davis.
Gina Davis, who's 70.
Yeah, and looking terrific.
Amazing.
Right?
You would not want to give your seat up to her because you wouldn't know she was 70. It's just a great cast, yeah. And it's just a lot of fun.
And
The Burrows.
What is it?
Basically, it's about this retirement community and it's basically creepy. So like these people come in under the guise of one thing, but it turns out to be something else. And it's very sci-fi. There's like a creatures that are, you know, feeding off of them. That's not giving it away, is it, Brian?
No, I don't think so.
And it's really, you don't like Kira's face.
Sorry.
I love
my face
all that.
Did you
that
like
away?
Stranger Things?
No.
Okay, right.
You did
well,
say
you
that
it.
To me before. No, I loved
watched
it.
About 40
favorite
seconds.
Thing ever.
And this is it. Like, it's a very, what I found interesting about it is it takes the same concept as Stranger Things. Like, the thing of it is in Stranger Things is that it's kids talking about something terrible that happened to them and no one believes them. And in this, it's OAPs trying to get people to realize that something terrible is happening to them and no one believes
really
them.
And strong characters in it as well. Like, it's good. So I would definitely recommend it. Definitely.
Strong characters, strong cast, and fills the void that was left, obviously, in your lives by the end of Stranger Things.
Yeah. Great soundtrack as well, actually.
Yeah, actually, amazing
soundtrack. The song clearance budget must have been huge,
Okay, maybe I will check it out.
Do.
Maybe I'll put on my big girl pants and watch something a little creepy. Or maybe
fine.
I'll just continue watching The Rivals or Rivals.
Oh,
or maybe
like
I'll just continue
filth,
watching Rivals.
Like in a bit of the filth, yeah.
It also has a great soundtrack.
It does, doesn't it? The 80s, proper Palmer and New Order and great.
I think we better leave it there for now. Alison Curtis and Brian Lloyd, thank you so much. Pleasure to have you with me. Everyone, that's it from us here on The Hard Shoulder today. My thanks to all of the team here. I hope you have a fantastic bank holiday weekend, sunshine or no sunshine. And the team will be back on Tuesday at 4 o'clock with more Hard Shoulder. Speak then. Bye-bye.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.